Hello, everyone. So my name is Femke McKelvey, and I'm joined by Joanna. Does the other mic work?
Yes.
So all I say, we're here today representing a big, big group, and we want to give you a little window into a small piece that we're part of, which is the People's Consultation for AI. So I'm going to introduce a little bit about where we got. What is the People's Consultation? How we got here? And then Joanna's going to jump in, and we're going to share this conversation to give you a sense of just how we've gotten to this room and what's the state of public opinion around artificial intelligence in Canada right now. So being really quickly, I just want to acknowledge that it's kind of crazy to be here right now because there's so many people that have been part of this conversation that has enabled this to happen. And the reason we're here today sharing this is because of everybody in the room. So I get stressed out at like not acknowledging everybody who is part of this. So I just want to say that the People's Consultation was a long journey that involved activism and efforts from so many people here. So just give yourselves all a big round of applause. And to say that one of the things that came up in the community that we've been part of is around last fall when we had the announcement of a 30-day sprint to solve the AI governance problem in Canada for, I think, the third time now. There became a kind of coalition of civil society and academics and researchers and communities that was trying to say, well, we need a better way of talking about AI, and that the people in Canada had opinions about AI but had no venue to voice it. And so Cynthia Koo, who will be speaking next, will kind of talk more about this. It helped lead a broad coalition that led to what we call the People's Consultation for AI. And so this was ad hoc, and people ask like where the money came from, and it was like nowhere. Like, it was a very much a grassroots initiative that was run on the sides of desks of many, many people that wanted to showcase how Canadians could participate in a different way about building AI policy. And so it was a proof of concept. And so for 3 months, we kept the website open in French and English. And thanks for Sophie Tupin, who helped lead the stewarding it over to the French. So a bilingual consultation. And again, Joanna and I are just part of this, and so what we're going to be talking about is the academics who helped analyze it, but all to say is the People's Coalition is bigger than us on stage, it's bigger than everybody in the room here, and it was an effort to show how AI policy could be done differently. And so we had three different processes to submit, and this is a big discussion, but I think it's important because very quickly we asked everyday individuals to talk about their answer questions. And this was not a simple survey to do. It wasn't just a fill-out checkbox. It was actually a fairly robust consultation. We also had a local facilitation guide. So we had also community groups who could use this facilitation guide to get together and talk about AI and try to foster community conversations. And we need obviously more of this, but this was an important way of showing how not only could we talk about making policy, but how that policy had to be rooted in local communities. And as a third way, we also had organizations who could fill out a much more detailed submission and use that as a kind of guideline. So we had three types of submissions. And at the end of this, all the submissions were bundled up and shared with the federal government broadly. I think Cynthia can mention all the organizations she shared it with, but I think it was a testament just to the resources. And so then we were asked as academics to go do our academic-y thing and try to translate some of these findings into something a bit more legible, which is slightly daunting. And so there were 66 submissions in general. The submissions ranged from 2 to 3 pages to hundreds of pages. And it was quite, I think we were both quite struck by how rich, how detailed, how thoughtful. And as a testament, just the capacity here, there's so much capacity in the room to take AI seriously as a governance challenge. And those voices have yet to be heard at the federal level, in my opinion. And so we had most of the submissions were in French. We had four submissions in French. The submissions ranged from groups, individuals, to organizations. So we had a range of results. And then, so what we tried to do was to make sense of what was submitted. And I think it kind of struck me, or someone made a joke just before here, whether it was we used AI. There's no AI used to code all these, unlike the federal government, which does love to use AI to actually process public opinion. But we did this. We had two fantastic RAs, Megan Vole and Leo Lechte, present and code all the documents in two ways. One, trying to figure out the tone, figure out issues and recommendations. And I'm talking too long, so I'm going to go a bit quicker here. And then Joanna took all the recommendations and tried to synthesize that. And so I'll make sure that she has time here. But just all quickly, is that in terms of the tone, it was really interesting that, you know, there's a lot of critical sense, there is concern, there's questions of trust. And that was, I think, one key part, was seeing how the reaction and the consistency of public concern over the adoption of AI runs counter to the federal ambitions to put AI in everything. And so it's a really important reminder that people are concerned and they have legitimate reasons to be concerned. What came up next was actually a very interesting mix of detailed concerns. And so I just tried to do a word cloud because we're still trying to figure out how to analyze all these different issues at hand. But you can see that ideas of workplace automation, environmental risks, fairness, questions of mis and disinformation, all came up as kind of central questions that the public was saying. And so there's a robust, broad coalition of society that is concerned about AI for reasons that are quite tangible. And so this is one thing I think that's important to realize. So these are concerns that are not only real, but addressable. So the environmental impacts of AI, which we all know and can talk about, that is something that is well felt and understood in the submissions. The same can be said for these emerging questions about cognitive risk, the offloading, what are the consequences of using, as educators like ourselves, AI in the classroom. So these are our kind of other concerns. And so I want to kind of pass it on, because I've talked too long, to Joanna, who can talk a little bit more about the kind of really interesting part, which is also the recommendations.
Sure. Thanks, Ben. So I'll just begin by saying this is our preliminary assessment of the recommendations. In terms of going through the recommendations, each submission often had extensive and multiple recommendations, and we tried to track all of them. And when we did that, what we found, and this is kind of it for the initial pass, there would be more, I think, the next time we go through it and we do some second coding. There were 370 recommendations within those submissions. We've done an initial attempt at categorizing them, but we've captured every recommendation in our category. So what I wanted to do here in the very briefest of time is give you some examples of the recommendations. And I wanted to highlight just how energizing and fantastic it is to go through this material. There are so many great, important key ideas and things we could be doing right now. And I also wanted to mention that, you know, I'm going to do a quick pass now, but our intention is to share everything and, of course, make the data accessible to everyone. I have highlighted here where there were 10 or more recommendations in a specific area. So there were recommendations, a series of recommendations across the submissions to prioritize Indigenous data sovereignty and leadership as just one example of what this looked like in terms of the content. There's a recommendation for stricter land protections to ensure respect of Indigenous sovereignty and custodianship. There were 12 recommendations that fell in this category. There were 11 recommendations that fell into the category of mandatory disclosure. As just one example, there was a recommendation that employers should be required to disclose the existence and purpose of an AI system in use, the data that's collected, and the logic behind the outputs that are being produced through its use. There were 45 recommendations that were connected to changes that should be introduced to improve or enhance democratic functioning around AI oversight. And these included recommendations around institutional changes. So one example would be to fund civil society participation in AI policy processes. There were 27 recommendations that centered the need to stop or resist AI practices. As one example, there was a recommendation to ban generative AI in educational settings. There were 12 recommendations that focused on design for greater control. One example of this would be a recommendation to remove the sycophancy from generative AI tools. There was 12 recommendations that centered the importance of Canadian AI sovereignty. And here there was an emphasis, and you can see here that we need to kind of refine some of this coding, but there's a AI sovereignty here in this particular recommendation was focusing on ensuring community-controlled AI infrastructure. So, you know, there's kind of a Canadian focus, but also a local focus in terms of control here. 38 recommendations focused on increasing labor protections. So one example here would be to ban AI from being deployed to survey workers in the workplace. There were 79 recommendations that focused on strengthening AI governance and regulation. So here there were a whole range of recommendations that focused on increasing and requiring rigorous data privacy protections, consumer protections in connection with consumer-facing AI products. 36 recommendations relating to the need for auditing and impact assessments, more stringent auditing. And here a lot of the focus was on requiring environmental impact assessments for AI infrastructure projects. There were 46 recommendations on means to ensure greater transparency and accountability. A number of these focused on steps that could be taken to hold corporate, to ensure corporate accountability. I'm kind of racing here a little bit. And then there were 16 recommendations for particular kinds of AI literacy initiatives that should be introduced. So I'll stop there and I'll hand it back to Fenn to close this out.
Oh, yeah. Could you please define sycophancy?
I think they weren't specific in their recommendation, but here I think they were thinking about the way that generative AI tools are designed to kind of agree with you and kind of reinforce what they're telling you. Yeah.
Yeah. The question was, what is sycophancy? And so all to say is this idea that generative AI wants to be your best friend. I just want to say that as you can see, both of us are slightly overwhelmed by how fantastic the responses are. And I think real credit to Joanna and the team of RAs for really racing to be able to showcase something. The things that I just want to say... So obviously the goal is to translate, to get this into something a bit more tangible as a summary report. Obviously that takes human labor and so time, of course. The other part is making sure that we would do a good job around analyzing the French commentary. I realized when I was racing to figure out how to do a word cloud that I just lumped them all together. And I think that there's also a way of making sure that those kind of two categories are a bit better defined. And I think the part for me is also really importantly remembering that with little resources and a lot of gumption that we were able to showcase how AI policy could be done differently in this country. And the most important thing for me about the People's Consultation is not forgetting that. Obviously, I think the biggest risk we have now with AI is the question of democracy itself. And I think able to prototype and showcase how we can work democratically to address these challenges of AI is central. And I hope the People's Consultation and our analysis of it helps remind everybody in the room about the project ahead of us. Thank you.
Thanks again to Fenn and Joanna. Next up, we have Cynthia Koo, who's the founder and principal lawyer for at Technos Law. She's a lawyer who specializes in technology and human rights law and is also part of this, the People's Consultation. So, and she's going to tell us about the current moment in Canadian civil society AI advocacy. Without further ado, Cynthia Koo.